You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, Ray here with another book recommendation. John Glenn was a Marine Corps officer with 59 World War II combat missions under his belt. His wingman was Ted Williams, two-time American League Triple Crown winner who, at the pinnacle of his career, was inexplicably recalled to active service. Over the next half century, these two men would both become household names, the affable astronaut and the notoriously tempestuous left fielder. Their enduring friendship, forged in battle, would see them through exhilarating highs and devastating lows. Through unpublished letters, unit diaries, declassified military records, manuscripts, and new and illuminating interviews, the wingmen, the unlikely, unusual, unbreakable friendship between John Glenn and Ted Williams by Adam Lazarus, is an inspiring, epic, and intimate portrait of two American legends, larger than life, and extraordinarily human. The Wingmen by Adam Lazarus is available everywhere books are sold. Hello, and thank you for listening to the History of World War II podcast, episode 461, Odessa Prepares for Its Fate. Last time, though the Soviets had created a proper bridgehead on Romanian soil at the beginning of Barbarossa, the more successful German thrust to the immediate north made this untenable. No, the Soviet troops would be evacuated and ferried to Odessa. It would have to do what this incursion could not, that is, bring the invaders up short. And though the Soviet advance was lost, it had taught them something. First, the enemy was human, after all, no matter what the newspaper said, and that with the various units working together, naval, artillery, infantry, and air force, the enemy could be beaten. This new way of fighting, away from old Soviet doctrine, started to spread among the armies. And as these troops were on their way to Odessa, their comrades on land retreated. On paper, the Soviets had 24 divisions shielding this area, compared to the 25 divisions and 15 brigades of the invaders. So the numbers were close, but it was the German air control that gave them the edge. Soon, elements of the German 17th Army fought and pushed in where the southwestern and southern fronts met, which always causes confusion. And though the Soviet 130th Rifle Division held out at Mogilev Podeski in northern Moldova for 10 days, soon the Dniester was crossed. Simultaneously, the Romanians further south, and with massive Luftwaffe support, took Chisinev in central Moldova. This opened the way to Odessa along a southeastern course, and it didn't help that the successful Soviet bridgehead previously had been abandoned. But on July 18th, one day before the Stavka ordered a retreat, it told the coastal group of forces, in cooperation with the Black Sea Fleet, prevent any enemy breakthrough in the direction of Odessa, holding it under any circumstances. In order to stand and die is one thing, but taking this matter seriously, the Stavka brought in a new commander, one General G.I. Safonov. He had fought in this very area during the Russian Civil War, and he was desperately needed. Now that Chisinev was taken, Axis forces between July 19th and the 25th pushed to the southeast, Odessa bound, but the separate coastal army, now under Savanov, held them off. As these two sides clashed, the defenses within and around Odessa were being strengthened. What helped, though indirectly and only for a short duration, was the Soviet defense around Uman, already discussed. But as we have seen, that would end too quickly for Moscow, who would order the retreat of the 6th and 12th armies. Many would not make it. Point is, the crumbling Soviet front was leaving Odessa more and more isolated as each hour passed. On August 4th, the Southern Front's military council sent a report to the Stavka. In part, it read, "Possession of Odessa has large political and operational significance. The enemy will be constantly connected on the flank. The defense of Odessa must be conducted under the conditions of the fleet's superiority in the Black Sea." The next day, August 5th, the Stavka approved this report and issued the necessary orders. Specifically, the Southwestern commander, S.M. Bunyeni, was told, "Do not surrender Odessa and defend it to the last possibility," employing the Black Sea Fleet for this. These words came directly from Stalin. Meanwhile, with the Soviet line in front of Army Group South falling back, its left flank was doing better than its right flank. Of course, it was getting the help of the Danube River Flotilla. But for the moment, it looked like Odessa was about to be lost without much of a fight, as the Soviet right flank within Army Group South created a gap some 50 kilometers wide due to a miscommunication, as the 30th Rifle Division, when encircled, fought their way east and not to the southeast, thus providing this opening. This allowed the ever-vigilant Germans, specifically parts of the 72nd Infantry Division, to rush through, with a Romanian cavalry brigade in tow. All they had to do now was head to the southeast and take Odessa, which was still building up its defenses. However, General Safarov saw the threat and ordered his own cavalry division to not only fill this hole, but to, if possible, engage the broken-through enemy units and link up with the retreating 30th Rifle. The German and Romanian units were not engaged, but plenty of other enemy units were, and the Soviet cavalry caused mayhem by attacking into their sides or flanks, forcing these invaders to chase them instead of heading deeper into Soviet territory. And having reached deep into the enemy rear itself, the Soviet cavalry turned around and headed back to Odessa, as there was a general retreat, and it was then that they ran into those German and Romanian units heading that way as well. Realizing their luck, the Soviet horsemen continued for days straight to harass the enemy's rear and supply lines. And representative of how the Soviet army overall and command would eventually learn the best way to defeat the panzers, here too the horsemen, under 7th Cavalry Regiment Captain Blivnov, his superior being General Petrov, figured out what worked best for them in this situation. First, the Saber squadrons would be placed in front, then headquarters and the regiment's specialized elements were placed in the middle, behind the horsemen, and finally, the machine gun carriers were covering everyone's rear. They would approach the enemy, who had their own screen covering their rear, but panzers instead of horses, which was now the relative Axis front in regards to this coming battle. But, unbeknownst to the Germans, the Soviet horsemen had an artillery battery hiding behind them. Soon the Soviet guns were going off, and before they knew it, the armored German screen had been reduced to a pittance. German crews were quickly captured. After one of these earlier attacks, Captain Blivnov brought some of the POWs before his men and said, "Take a look, boys, at these fascist shrimps. Take a good look. Really? Can't we whip them? Each of you who meet the fascist in combat will be facing just such despicable cowards. That's one way to break your troops of fearing the enemy." And with these from-behind raids, the Germans and Romanians were slowed on their approach to the northeast sector of Odessa that was still barely defended. That the Axis troops were approaching Odessa from the northeast shows just how far east they had gotten before they turned to the south. Back to Odessa, the time gained by the Soviet horsemen allowed three regiments and two battalions of reserves to plug that hole. This motley crew was commanded by Brigadier Commander S.M. Makhanov. Further, he pushed out Odessa's first line of defense to the east to some 15 miles, or 24 kilometers, to the Bukhaya area near a great estuary. Might as well use what nature had given them for better defense. In fact, the estuaries around Odessa would be incorporated into the overall defense. As for those brave cavalrymen of Petrov who had made this all possible, the survivors were sent behind the lines for a well-deserved rest. This podcast could not exist without the help of sponsors like Yahoo Finance. When it comes to your financial future, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, you've invested all that you can. Now, you need to take those investments to the next level by using what every financial great uses, Yahoo Finance. I've stressed this in my podcast about command and control, which is exactly what Yahoo Finance is. You can see all your investments and retirement accounts in one place. You can consolidate your views from multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Yahoo Finance has been around for more than 25 years, and they've worked things out. You've got the tools you need right at your fingertips. I open up my Yahoo Finance, and within seconds, I can see how my stocks and investments are doing. And basically, investing, it's all about growth. And in order to grow, you need to know what's going on. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Back to Odessa, the naval unit that would shield the vital port city was impressive enough, with three battalions of long-range coastal artillery, a detachment of combat ships, the 73rd Anti-Aircraft Regiment, three squadrons of naval aviation, with specialized elements of coastal security, all the while hosting additional warships for just such an emergency. Specifically, one cruiser, one destroyer, another battalion of gunboats, and finally, a brigade of 23 torpedo boats. This does not even factor in the 17 cutters, two minesweepers, four patrol boats, and a mine layer. But there was more. The AA units around the city were given another layer of perimeter protection, and some of the Soviet planes overhead practiced guiding their comrades' artillery shells for better accuracy. There was even more layers of defense around Odessa. Basically, it was a study of paranoid defense. But the Stavka knew all of these elements and more would be needed, and they were about to be tested. On the other side of the chessboard, the Germans and Romanians were putting equal importance on the capture of Odessa. But given the strength of the Soviet Black Sea forces, Berlin had decided long ago that it would be best to capture Odessa from landward and let the vaunted Soviet Navy wither on the vine. Either way, for the Soviets, it was a matter of life and death. And for the Germans, taking Odessa would decide if further thrusts in this area would be successful or not. For if the Soviets kept control of the Black Sea, they could land partisans or anyone behind the main fighting. That would be distracting, at the very least, for the Germans. Another intangible obstacle for the approaching Axis troops was that they were invading a communist country, which had extensive control over every facet of life. Did this make it difficult for those living there? Undoubtedly, but it also allowed the state to react quickly and in an organized manner. From the first day of the invasion, 155,000 residents of the city and its environs were mobilized, voluntarily or not, into the Red Army or the Black Sea Fleet. This included Russians, Jews, Moldavians, Armenians, Georgians, and Ukrainians. And considering what was about to take place, the local commanders were only too happy to see 73,000 Komsomol members or Communist Youth Group members walk into Odessa. As for the 3,200 females who volunteered, they were sent to the front to be medics, signal personnel, or nurses. The 60,000 or so militia were tasked with patrolling the city streets and keeping an eye out for infiltrators. As for the 800 students too young to take up arms, they were sent to the nearby farms to help the local farmers with harvesting. Yes, there might be a war on, but the defenders would need to eat, and it was important to deny anything possibly sustaining to the oncoming enemy. After the first 2 weeks of war, it was clear to both sides that the Germans were going to take a lot of territory for the foreseeable future. Thus, the factories in Odessa, which represented much sweat and treasure for Moscow, had to be saved. Thus, on July 8th, machinery of all kinds was taken to the east by rail. Next were the factories themselves that housed the machines. They were all put on rail carts in sections. As impressive as the tonnage was taken out of Odessa by rail, that paled in comparison when Axis forces cut the rail line from the north by more advanced German units. Now, everything had to leave by sea. But the longshoremen and naval units who had been working on this from day one had it down to a science. For example, in July alone, 67 ships took away 58,000 metric tons. And by October, those same factories and machines were up and running again, producing for the defense of the state. Of course, nothing is perfect, and during this naval evacuation on July 27th, the steamship Lenin hit a mine while dodging German planes and their bombs. Now, once the ship was loaded full of equipment, all other available space was given to civilians, those too young, old, or weak to help with the defense. And on the Lenin were 2,500 passengers like this. But after hitting that mine, only 500 of them were rescued. The second it became clear that Russia was the victim of a sneak attack, Odessa defenders planned on four lines of defense around the city, deep trenches with artillery and infantry on their side. Yet the Romanians, backed by the Germans, came on so fast that this was reduced to three lines of defense. The furthest one away would be 60 kilometers, the next one 40 kilometers, and the last about 20 kilometers from Odessa's outskirts. But even this was too much, as in, they would not all be fully ready by the time the enemy arrived. So they were abandoned. And with the Axis men coming on, it was decided to only focus on the closest defensive ring. But even this would require massive amounts of earth to be moved, and not by machine. But again, the government had the means to organize, and the people had the motivation. 12 fortification labor battalions of 500 men and women were organized and put on a schedule to march out every morning from the city to improve those works. By August, there were still some 300,000 civilians in Odessa, and about 100,000 of them helped with defensive works, and most of these, by then, were women. As the trenches were made, artillery was put in place, and barbed wire strung up. The city of Odessa was becoming the Odessa Fortress. Of course, these works were not completed by the time the enemy arrived, so the process of construction was met by the process of destruction, as German and Romanian artillery and bombers attempted to undo the work, again, much of it by hand. The heat of summer only made it harder, as did the lack of nearby clean water. But nothing was as hard as the determination of the people of Odessa. But as the workers had far surpassed all expectations of the engineers, it was decided once again to attempt more than one line of defense, thus not putting all their eggs in one basket. By the end of August, even though the siege of Odessa had already started, indirectly, there would be three main lines with smaller lines connecting them. This was partially explained by the fact that the original closest line, again about 20 kilometers outside Odessa, was now the furthest one away. The lines were at least 6 kilometers away from each other, but also at the same time, 3 miles deep. It would not simply be a matter of just getting over an anti-tank ditch and then over the dirt wall behind it. No, that would only be the beginning of fully penetrating any of these lines. But it would be more fair to say that the first two lines were all about defense. The closest one was only 8 kilometers away from Odessa, but that was meant to cover a general evacuation. It was hoped this line would never be challenged or needed. Within the city, 243 street barricades were constructed and manned by a total of 11,000 men. And lastly, in terms of defense, all the coastal guns were altered, as were their foundations, so they could turn landward and add to the defensive capabilities of the city overall. This, too, went for the ships in the bay as they practiced hurling their shells over the city. And lastly, the overall command had to be dealt with, as there was a coastal and naval command. And at times in June, their orders had counteracted each other. So the Stavka made the Odessa defensive region, and that settled the matter. General G. Safronov, who had fought here in the Great War, would be in command. The Army and Coastal Command would do all they could to keep the enemy at bay, while the Soviet naval forces resupplied them and helped out when they could. Of course, if it got to that point, that would be a bad sign. But only a fool does not prepare for the worst. And Stalin had been fooled once. He would not be fooled again. By August 10th, coming at Odessa were 11 Axis divisions, 100 tanks, and 100 aircraft. As for the defenders, they had no suitable tanks for this and just under 35 aircraft of all kinds. So on the ground, the Germans and Romanians would be coming at Odessa with 3.5 times the general firepower of the defenders. However, these defenders, again, were fighting for their way of life and their families. But going back to that early break in the defensive line near northern Moldova, when the Germans and Romanians pushed through, they and their commanders assumed that that line had been the extent of Russian defenses in the area, and that their men could simply push on to Odessa and take the city. They had even planned a parade for August 10th, but it did not work out that way. The Soviet cavalry charge that got in the attacker's rear, the resistance of whatever they ran up against, in general, slowed down their advance. So the Germans and Romanians came on, ever closer to the first ring around Odessa, and they just knew they would end up victorious. Oh, sure, the initial dash didn't work. That petered out about 25 kilometers away to the northeast. Thus, it would be a siege. But really, how long could that take? The Germans had seen no Russian tanks, yet they were about to be supported by 100 of their own, as well as 100 planes. As for the Russians, it was a different story. The Stavka had ordered the Odessa district to tie down as many enemy troops as possible for as long as possible, and while doing this, to bleed them for their trouble. So the defenders already counted themselves dead. Now what was left of their lives was all about keeping the enemy out of Odessa, while making them wish they had never crossed the Danube. Greetings, everyone, from Central Virginia. So let's see here. I just have two people to thank. As far as my latest member, Thomas Nielsen from Sweden. Thank you very much, Thomas. And as far as donations, Susan Politz. So thank you very much for that. We'll see what happens with the Odessa siege, and then we'll go back and cover the Kiev siege, which was absolutely incredible. That's when Guderian had to come down and help out. And then we will push on from there and then focus on all three fronts. So that's the latest, and I will see you as soon as I can with the next episode. Take care, everyone.